We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Like Miami, 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 Miami.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the He Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, we have producer, co-founder, Mr. Brian Goines.
Hello!
We have our professional screw-up, Alex Toledo.
Yo.
And we have our very sunburnt trash tweeter, Jack Alfonso.
Yo, what's up?
What's up, man? You look real crispy over there.
I feel crispy. Yeah, it's awful.
This is not a visual medium for you guys, but for us, you know, Jack is very red right now. He's a very red man. If you're new to us or if you're not new to us, we're part of the Five Reasons Sports Network, started by Ethan Skolnick and Chris Whittingham. You can check out our family of shows from 3 yards per carry to Cinco Razones. As Marlin season is going, Cinco has lots of good stuff going there. We have the flagship Five Reasons hosted by Ethan Skolnick. There's tons on the network. Make sure to check it all out, all the fun stuff we got going. So, gentlemen, my Toronto Raptors. By the way, we're going to get into draft stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about the finals because last night was insane. It was probably one of the craziest games since Game 7 of the 2016 finals. So we're going to talk a little bit about that for the first 10, 15 minutes of the show, and then we're really going to get heavy into Heat draft talk. Brian's going to timestamp this stuff in the description if you want to skip ahead to Miami Heat draft talk. But I got to talk about my Toronto Raptors. They dropped a big one at home. Guys, I don't even know where to start. Like, this game had, like, 5,000 storylines, right? So, like, pregame, did you guys see the video of KD dancing and doing, like, a crisscross type thing, like, jumping up and down? Did you guys see that?
He hadn't done that dance in some years. Like, that was a popular clip a while ago. Like, I think when he was still with the OKC.
Yeah, so, I think so.
I saw the pregame dunks that he was doing, and I gotta be honest with you, I 100% that was intimidation tactics, right? Like, KD did that to scare people.
I mean, it worked. Everybody was scared.
Bro, I was so shook. I'm gonna tell you something. I had a bad feeling because it was very rainy in Toronto and Miami. I had a bad day, and I'm just like, man, I don't know why I feel really. I even tweeted. I go, I have a bad feeling about tonight. I just don't have a good feeling.
And how'd then you know it was rainy in Toronto?
Huh?
Why'd you mention
dude,
that?
Dude, because I'm keeping tabs, dude. Because I'm Canadian right now.
Did you
I'm
a Raptors. Them on the weather app.
I'm looking. I see Jurassic Park people out there getting rained on. I'm like, keep Chris Bosh dry at all costs. It's one of
Wait,
ours.
Gianni, why are you keeping tabs on weather in Toronto? Is it because you're planning to go there for the parade?
I'm going to the parade, man. If the Raptors win the title, I'm there. I'll be there with my friends from the Raptors Republic blog. Check them out. From all the Raptors stuff that's going on over there, I'm going to be out there at the parade. We'll do a remote from the parade.
What kind of Raptors gear do you have that's prepared to be in your suitcase and your luggage when you go?
So last night I ordered a Kyle Lowry over everything t-shirt.
No.
That's coming hopefully soon. I'm going to go to my local Dick's Sporting Goods to see if I can buy just a regular Kyle Lowry Toronto Raptors t-shirt so I can rock when...
Dick's Sporting Goods in Miami, Florida.
I feel because they're in the finals, I have a chance. I mean, it's a bad... I might go to that sports store in Dolphin Mall that they have like every single sports shirt. You know what I'm talking about, Alex?
You're not going to find it.
I want to try, man.
Kyle Lowry jersey.
Not a jersey, just the t-shirt.
Gianni, we sent you a link. Have you not seen the link from Fat Kids Deals?
Fat Kids Deals? I don't want a jersey. Like I feel like fat guys shouldn't wear jerseys. Like it doesn't look good. Cause like you
fat
have, like,
guys,
the,
no fat kids.
You're right, completely
get your facts straight.
I don't think that I'm
ever
too
seen
like
Action Bronson?
I'm too doughy. I'm too doughy, as Nikias would say. I'm like Jokic except like fatter. Like this doesn't look good.
All right, look what Jokic does with it, man. Look what Action Bronson does with it.
When does Jokic become sneaky athletic?
I mean, he's been sneaky athletic.
I feel like he's there. Like I feel like he's sneaky strong. He's sneaky nimble. Marc Gasol is sneaky nimble.
Can we talk about that timeout after the 12-2 run, Raptors run, where Kawhi's hitting everything and they call a timeout? And I've never been more pissed off at a coach that had nothing to do with
it. I think Kyle called that. I mean, Kyle was the one. Like signaling. I don't have a.
It looked like he was looking towards the bench. Either way, I blame Kyle Lowry for a million other things.
Well,
I blame
like,
you for rooting for Kyle Lowry.
I don't Agreed. See the issue. Like I see, I've like there was a lot of discourse about that today, but Kawhi was exhausted. Kyle was tired, and I think that, and I've heard the argument. Well, so are the Warriors, right? But I think we could agree that the Raptors. When the Warriors don't have Kevin Durant, the Raptors are the better team. And I think if you have the better players, you'd rather have the better players rested. And Kawhi and Kyle's, I mean, Kawhi was not good most of that game. And at the end, he was a destroyer of worlds. Kyle Lowry was consistently destroying the Warriors in the pick and roll the entire night. Even in the first half where I don't think he got a field goal in the first quarter.
He finished 8 of 16, too.
I mean, like, Kyle was...
The percentage he's ever put up in the playoffs.
Bro, he was completely picking them apart. Like, anytime he'd get a big switch onto him, or every time he'd get in the paint off a Gasol screen or Kawhi screen, like, it was just lights out because he had that... He has that little stop, turnaround, jump floater thing that's, like, it's money once he gets in the paint. And he's so good at initiating contact when guys are trailing him that guys don't want to foul. Draymond was in foul trouble. Livingston was in foul trouble. Like, a lot of the Warriors were kind of playing, like, on the edge of the game was kind of being called tight. So, Jack, I don't really have a problem with that timeout. I don't really have a problem with anything Toronto did. The Warriors hit 10 more threes than them and won by 1 point, right? And the Raptors missed a lot of really good looks. Siakam missed a bunch of corner threes, and he was a really good corner three-point shooter all season. Kyle was just had nothing from outside. Danny Green hit nothing from outside. Van Vliet was like the only plus three-point shooter that they had. He was like 3 for 6 or something. Like, that was so anomalous that they hit 10 more threes and won by one damn point.
They had 3 of those threes in the last 3 minutes of game after that timeout.
You know, I rewatched that Clay three over and over again. There's like nothing you can do. Right, because like Steph comes off the ball screen and he's coming down, and Kyle is like Iguodala's at the dunker spot, and Kyle doesn't leave him. But then Steph beats Van Vliet, and at that point, Kyle has to make a decision: am I helping, or am I forcing him to pass Iguodala under the rim? So he comes to help, and then you have Gasol and Danny Green and Kawhi come in on Iguodala, right? And like none of them were really going to make it. And then Gasol kind of like gets an arm out, and Iguodala kicks out to Draymond, and Danny Green has to decide, am I going to close out on Draymond or am I closing out on Steph? Boogie Cousins sets a pick, so Danny Green cannot get... Danny Green immediately says, I'm going to go to Klay Thompson. Nobody ran to Draymond. They knew he wasn't going to shoot, and they ran straight to Klay. DeMarcus was set a screen. Lights out. Nothing you can do. Kawhi came out for a late contest, but like I've watched that a million times, and it's just the Warriors are just the Warriors. I mean, there's nothing you can do.
You know what you can do is you can make your open shots, Kyle Lowry. This guy.
He was good. Really? I mean, like, I don't like.
Where was he when it counted?
Getting blocked by Draymond Green. But, you know, he had the layup to bring them within one. Like, we forget that.
Yeah, but right? Where was he?
So it's easy to forget. They didn't win. So after that monster Clay three, Kyle got to the rim and got them a layup. And then the moving screen happened. So, like, he got them there. And honestly, I got to be honest. That whole sequence at the end, it happened way too fast.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't see it.
Yeah, because you're to tell the audience what happened to you.
My stream broke like right before the last possession.
What?
I was really mad about it at first, but then seeing the result of the game, I guess it's for the best. Probably the best for my blood pressure. I did have to block Gianni right after the game because I was so mad at Kyle Lowry and at him for inflating Kyle Lowry's legacy unnecessarily.
Kyle had a good game.
A good game.
He had a very good game. He
in the
had
finals,
two,
good isn't good enough.
He had one bad possession where he had a horrible turnover.
And they lost by how many points?
By one.
Yeah. So one bad possession.
Why can't we blame Siakam or why Danny Green? Okay. Or why can't we just say that the Warriors are amazing? Heart of a champion.
Kyle Lowry is getting paid over $20 million a year.
He's not allowed to have a mistake. It's like the only like notable mistake he had the whole game.
I will say every time Danny Green misses a three, I get like infuriated.
It's so annoying.
I expect greatness from Kyle Lowry.
I expect greatness from Danny Green. Like everyone talks about Kawhi being the dynasty ender. They didn't watch that series like we did, dude.
I'd rather have killer Kyle Korver on the floor.
Danny Green and Gary Neal were out for blood.
God.
Do you give me like,
I can give you that.
I have freaking Darren Williams out there. I know he's bad, but at least I don't expect greatness from him.
Gianni still hasn't seen that video.
I haven't seen it.
I've only tagged you in it like 100 times.
I'm laughing. You know how many things I've been tagged in?
That video goes around Twitter every time Kyle Lowry has a bad game. So you can imagine.
What my mentions look like when Kyle Lowry has a bad game? Or when, not even a bad game because he had a good game. When Kyle Lowry has a bad moment, do you know what my mentions look
like? You watch the video and we get your reaction live.
Where is it?
Everybody knows the video.
Wait. How about I send you this one, too?
You know what's funny? I'm trying to find Danny Green's playoff shooting. Here we go.
It's like 53% from three.
No, for this playoff run, because it's very annoying. Danny Green is shooting
27.
That was last season. He shot. Oh no, that was field goal percentage. Ouch. He's shooting 32% from three. That is horrid. In the championship year, it was 47. So,
what about Gary Neal?
Danny Green's really awful. This is what you thought this would be.
74%.
Dude, Gary Neal was just. I'm looking at Basketball Reference, so it provides only for the. I could probably look at just the finals, right? 2014 NBA Finals. Brian,
yeah,
any updates on the video?
I got both videos on there. Watch the bottom one first and the second one.
First, we're looking at Gary Neal's box score from 2014.
What are we watching?
You know, I don't like when people compare this series to 2014. I mean, even before last night, it didn't feel like that at all.
I don't think so either.
Like, the 2014 felt like this. I don't think anything about this series. I mean, the series has been, like, weird, but I mean, the Spurs completely ran Miami out of the gym. That hasn't really been the case with the Raptors.
Yeah, it's been pretty competitive. I mean, it doesn't feel like 2014 because the Warriors are still, they're in it. I mean, they're. With the Heat, there was just zero energy. You could tell everything was over. I don't feel that from Steph. I don't feel that from Clay. I don't feel that from Draymond. Like, you definitely felt it from Dwayne Wade. You felt it from LeBron and Bosch and everybody. But, like, I don't know. The Warriors are in it. They're just injured. Like, it's not, like, demoralizing. It's just kind of luck of the draw.
So, Gary Neal was not on the 2014 finals team. It was actually Patty Mills who shot 56% yes. from three. Danny Green shot 45% from three. Manu
Ginobili,
shot 41% from three. Kawhi Leonard shot 58% from three.
Oh my
Tony gosh. Parker shot 41% from three. Marco Bellinelli shot 44% from three. And Boris Diaw shot...
I completely forgot Bellinelli was on that team.
Forgot man. Neckbeard Bellinelli.
Boris
Diaw shot 33% from three. That is the shooting that the Spurs displayed. So this idea of Kawhi Leonard, the dynasty stopper, no dude, Patty Mills and Danny Green.
Toronto's like the defensive version. They're just Jesus overwhelming Christ. On defense.
Patty Mills, by the way, led. Oh no, Ginobili led with 3-point attempts for the series. Patty Mills right behind him with 23.
And off the Green bench.
our finals talk is just going back to the finals from 5 years ago.
I mean,
it is a heat.
We're stealing the deuces bit.
Yeah. We'll eventually get to the 2019 finals.
Boris Diaw shot from three what Dwayne Wade did. Wow, LeBron shot 51% from three. That's really good.
Yeah, he was the only good player on Miami.
Rashard shot 45%. Chalmers shot.
How many times? Wait, how much volume did he shoot? Because that was only like two attempts a game.
Rashard Lewis?
Yeah.
He had a total of 22 3-point attempts.
He was playing quite a bit at that point.
No, yeah, he was starting. Don't you remember?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
God, that team sucked.
I don't want to remember.
Yeah, no. Michael Beasley got minutes. Michael Beasley got 17 minutes in the series.
Whoa.
Greg Oden got three.
No.
You did not need to put Michael Beasley under the bus right
James
now.
Jones got minutes that series? I forgot about that.
God.
Tony Douglas. Shane Batty barely played. Oh, that's right. That was a series that they just completely played Shane off the floor. He had 33 minutes.
Yeah, that's when he decided he was going to retire.
That was
everybody
when
knew he was retiring.
Everybody. This is your problem. I mean, you're playing Rashard Lewis, 114 minutes, Chalmers, 116, Ray Allen, 155, and Dwayne Wade with his worst like knees ever, 172.
That was easily the worst version of D-Wade.
Bro, there is no defense at all. You could have put D-Wade this year, it would have been better.
Yeah, I think so too. It was bad.
That's crazy to think, but yes, I think you're right, Gianni, for once.
Like, he was, I mean, he couldn't move. It was like bad. Man,
people were on the overreaction train after that final.
LeBron scored 141 points that series for Miami. The next highest was Wade at 76.
All right, please watch these videos.
Okay,
I just can't believe that you would stan Kyle Lowry and then just throw Michael Beasley under the bus like that. What kind of Heat fan are you?
Let me watch this. So I've seen the Kyle Lowry reading the meme tweets. Toronto needs to get rid of Kyle Lowry ASAP. If I have to watch this fat ass attempt to take a three one more time, I'm jumping off a building. So,
all right, clip that and put that as the pod, as the preview for the pod.
Put it, just no. Let's watch the other video. This is a great visual medium, by the way. I hope Brian edits in the sound. Kyle Lowry
of course
misses
I will.
The game winner? Question mark? Question mark? Question mark?
I had 7 points. That's three buckets. Before. I can give you that. If you give me $100 million, I give you 7 buckets.
I've seen this a million times. Because guess what? I'm always tagged in it.
I give you more. You give me 300 million. I'm balling like Steph Curry. I seen Rondo shoot better, and we ain't never heard of Rondo shooting. And D Wade 34 broke knees. I bet you he give you a better performance than Kyle in the playoffs. Kyle is the worst player in the playoffs ever. I take bench players. I'm talking Killer Kyle Korver.
Killer Kyle Korver?
Oh my God, Lord. I take Killer Kyle. I take Darren Williams. I know he trash, but at least I know this. I'm not expecting nothing from Darren Williams. I expect greatness. Kyle Lord sucks.
I've seen that. It's magical every time. I've seen the Mean Tweets video a bunch of times.
Do you agree with the Wade part?
The Wade part was funny. No, dude, Kyle... You know, and we'll move on with this. Like I'm going to be like serious. I'm like not going to be meme-y. Kyle Lowry is a super flawed player. He has this utilitarian vision of the game that I think is to his detriment. Because sometimes, dude, they need you to score. And Kyle's not about that. Kyle wants to like, Zach Lowe describes it, and he does this with Marc Gasol as well, as persnickety. Which I think is a very, very good adjective to describe what the hell Kyle is doing on the court. And I find him brilliant. I find him to have this very... He understands everything that he's doing. And I think other than like missing shots, like everything, he controls everything on the court the way he wants to. Obviously you cannot control the outcome if you make a shot or not, but like the way that he runs the offense, it's like everything always goes according to his plan. And I love to watch that. Even though he's not like the super gifted athlete like Westbrook or whatever.
I think you're right. I don't think he's ever meant to be the second scorer on a great team.
He's not. He's kind of like Draymond in that sense.
Yeah, it's the thing is, there's only so much when the game slows down. There's only so many ways that he can get his shot. Like he get like he was
he's
talking about
that
mid range fader that
Hold
he
on,
had.
Wait a second.
Yeah, no, I'm saying he's good in the pick and roll, but at the end of the day, that's not the weapon that's going to give you a bucket every time. You know.
I don't know about that because they against the Warriors, they were consistently producing shots off the pick and roll. It's
that's always been the issue with him though. And then the problem is it gets worse. It gets substantially worse in the playoffs. I feel like if you put like let's say Bradley Beal on that team, something like that,
that'd Lowry, be amazing for him.
Exactly. He would be an incredible fit there because there's even less pressure on him to score.
Siakam's like a little out of control for them as a second scorer. He's a little bit
a second scorer either. Not yet.
He's a. I don't think he'll be more than a third scorer. I think people are really like jumping the shark on like what Siakam's gonna be. He's very
but
raw.
He's shown flashes that he can be. I don't think he's going to be there anytime soon.
No, but I mean, like,
he's had some crazy games, and it's like, you know, that's the vision, is that he can put something like that together consistently.
That's fair, but I do think that, like, just that's asking a lot. Like, hey, you have to be, like, the second guy on it, like, in the modern NBA where, like, the second guy's averaging 25 points or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like.
How surprised would you be if he came back next season with, like, a decent pull up mid range and, like, a more, you know, more consistent three? Just
I don't think they need more mid range.
Like, what happened?
I don't think they need more mid range.
No, it's not that you know what I'm saying. It's like, you know, more consistent ways of being able to get his shot. So he's more of a three level scorer, you know, so they respect him more on the outside.
He needs to polish the post moves. They're very out of control. He's good at it, but it's like very like wild.
Yeah,
he has like a spin move and like that's it. You know, like he needs a little more. Like I think if he's going to be a really effective post scorer, like going forward. Because, I mean, he's incredible running the floor and everything. And he could beat guys off the dribble. Obviously, the three-point shot is something that you have to work on consistently all the time. But, like, in terms of, like, a very, like, isolated offensive skill, I do think that, like, kind of polishing his post game is going to be good because smaller guys are going to be defending him quite a bit. And, yeah, so I'd love to talk more Raptors, but let's kind of pivot to some draft talk. And kind of, Brian, I wanted to give you the reins a little bit because we have this team is weird because there's a lot of uncertainty. There's still no clear indication if Goran's opting in or out. I don't really know what direction the coaching staff wants to go with Justice because at times I feel like they want him to be a point guard and at times I don't. And I really do feel like that affects what they're going to do going forward, especially with their young player. And I kind of wanted to get your guys' opinion on that and how, like, Justice fits into their selections going forward.
Like, well, if we're going to talk about free agency and stuff, we're not going to know anything about...
I kind of mean in the draft.
We're not going to know anything about Goran Dragic and Hassan Whiteside's immediate impact in the future because, obviously, they still have their opt-in deadlines, which are, I believe, 9 or 10 days after the draft. The draft is June 20th. Their deadline is June 29th. So unless they opt out before, which they could, but then I guess it gives you more of a better picture of what this roster is going to look like next season. But
so
in
we're
that sense,
both opt-ins, right?
I think we're expecting both to opt in, but at the same time, like I mean, we've seen Hassan Whiteside's social media recently, where he's kind of, I don't know if he's hinting at something, but obviously he's been hanging around Charlotte recently, and he's been hanging around whatever their mascot name is. So
I think he definitely knows he's on the block.
Both are aware probably from their end of season meetings with the Heat front office that they're going to be on the wire. Definitely come free agency, and obviously with their expiring deals, it helps the Heat trade them a lot easier should they find a package that's worth exploring.
So let's say there's no significant trade, and you know everybody's. Least favorite scenario happens where Dragic and Whiteside come back.
The whole team
How
comes
much
back.
Would you bet that both of those guys are starters, that neither of them are starters?
Oof. I think it's the same roster from the end of last season, no? I mean, the same starting lineup.
Justice back at the three with Goran starting?
I think so.
See, like, and that's kind of where I want to move, like, what are they going to do in the draft? So, like, if Goran and Justice stay, like, is it smart to bring in a ball-handling guard, right? Because then there's also Dion that's going to be here.
Well, I think Dion would be the backup, de facto point guard. I think you would have Jay Rich still ball-handling a bit. I mean, you're going to have James Johnson technically healthier, too. You're expecting Dion to be the same.
Him handling.
So, they're going to go back to the same thing as always, where it's really just going to be Goran, Winslow, ball handling for the most part. But they're not going to always have the ball in their hands. You know, they're going to, whoever has the ball, they're going to bring it up. I'm sure you're going to try to have Bam bring up the ball a lot more next season, too, which should be interesting for their, you know, their sets on offense.
Yeah, I really don't think you should at all, like, if the Heat are considering the fit with Goran, Dion, and Hassan when they're drafting, that's a problem right off the bat. I think they should just completely ignore the draft picks fit with any of those players.
Yes,
because beyond this next year, we're assuming they're not going to be on the team. And if Dion has a major role on the team next year, we're screwed regardless. I think they should consider a ball handling guard. There are definitely ball handling guards that I really like in this draft. I won't name any specifics, but Romeo Langford. But no, I mean, I think Justice's newfound consistency, or whatever you want to call it, from 3-point range, and you know, there's the hope that Bam can maybe develop some range, maybe in the mid range or from the 3-point line.
And gets more ball handling reps.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, like, you have a lot of flexibility in terms of who you can draft. So you can kind of just go best player available for the most part, because, like, guys like Bam, Justice, and Jay Rich are so versatile that you can kind of slide them slightly in terms of what role they're in to fit a fourth young guy.
Yeah. Alex, you talked to Bam recently. What did he say about what he was hoping to work on this summer?
I mean, he was kind of vague about what he was talking about, but he says, we've got a lot of goals and what I want to do next season. And he kind of referred to, I mean, he was asked about it too, but like, just like he was last season, the ball handling stuff, attacking the basket more. But the most important thing, or at least the most eye-popping thing to me, was that he was propped up by Derrick Jones Jr. as a quote-unquote shooter. And Bam, and also Derrick Jones Jr. said that he had a higher vertical than Derrick Jones Jr.
That's not true. Derrick Jones Jr.
Yeah, Bam kind of like laughed at it when they brought it up to him, because the Derrick Jones Jr. happened, the interview happened first. So he kind of thought that he was being trolled. But Derrick Jones Jr. was talking at length about how well Bam was shooting and how much he was shooting in like pickups and in warm-ups. I think they need to unleash it, man. Take the leash off already. What are we waiting for?
Let me tell you something. I've said this before. I've heard from people in the building.
Uh-oh.
That it's not a they have the reins on him type thing. It's that he imposes this on himself, that he has more freedom than we think, and that he doesn't necessarily always take those freedoms, right? So I've heard a little bit of that from someone, and it kind of makes sense to an extent. So I hope that this is going to help build his confidence so that he'll do more. So I think Bam is interesting, because I know that we don't look at Hassan as part of the long-term future of the organization, especially considering his age, and he may opt out. There's a lot of question marks. So, you know, that leaves Bam as kind of the long-term center, right? And then, Brian, I think you like Brandon Clark a lot, right?
If you really want to go down, like, who I think would be available at 13, who I want the Heat to select, Brandon Clark is definitely within the top three names that I would heavily consider, but I think he's going to be gone by the time the Heat select at 13, personally.
He seems like a perfect guy to put next to Bam.
I think the best fit for him would be in Atlanta.
Brandon Clark?
Yeah.
Everybody's best fit's going to be in Atlanta.
At number 10, because they have two picks in the top 10. Well, I mean, this is assuming that they don't trade any of their three top 15 picks right now.
That's a great idea, for sure.
But I think I think they can easily go for a wing with their number 8 slot and then just go for the best big available, which I think would be Clark at number 10.
They could go Sekou and Clark, man, and call it a day.
They could. I've seen Reddish and Jackson Hayes also mock to them. I don't like Jackson Hayes as much as Clark. I know the Heat were trying to get a workout in with Jackson Hayes and he declined. The Heat were trying to get a workout of Bol Bol. Bol Bol also declined. They were trying to get a workout of Sekou Doumbouya, and he also declined, but he had a pro day, and the Heat were actually there for the pro day. Adam Simon was there, the Heat general manager, who's also in charge of scouting, director of scouting.
So do we think Sekou's going to be there at 13?
I don't think he's going to be at 13, but obviously the Heat are doing all the pre-draft work that they need in order to scout these guys, and especially with him,
I want him the most.
Yeah, he don't do as much international scouting as probably other teams like the Spurs. So I mean, it was good that they were actually there for his pro day. I know it was very tight invitation. So it's good that they were there. I know the Bol Bol one's also very exclusive for invitations. I don't know if they're actually going to be in that one. I think it's going to happen next Tuesday, from what I read. And you know, besides that, I know they're bringing in a couple players. They had PJ Washington in yesterday, actually. And he had a really good workout from what we heard, according to our sources.
Totally feels like the pick, man.
We actually do know, based on his, I mean, you can look on his social media and stuff, that he's been training with actually Dwayne Wade's trainer. So, I mean, I don't know if that really means much, but we've been knowing since the beginning of the process that PJ is definitely at the top of the Heat's draft board.
You think that they're going to draft positionally or just best guy available?
It's hard to know. If we want to go back to that Barry Jackson article that he wrote about 2-3 weeks ago, he kept saying that the Heat are looking for a stretch wing. They want a wing that can shoot, that's lengthy, and can play defense.
Josh Richardson?
Well, probably they want I think it was like 6'6" or above, which would mean any of the tall two guards. So anyone from Kevin Porter, Romeo Langford, up to PJ. I don't know if I would put Brandon Clark in that category.
DeAndre Hunter?
But PJ Washington would be in there.
But he also said in that article, which I think was the point that you're probably about to get to, that they might prioritize. Like he was kind of almost vaguely hinting at Brandon Clark that they would choose him if he's available at 13.
If they had him higher on their board, which also we have no idea. I have no idea where they have PJ on their board. I have no idea where they have Brandon Clark on their board. But I know they're up there because they've been looking at them heavily since the beginning of the process.
So Leif also said in March that he thinks, I think something to the effect of PJ Washington and Brandon Clark being two of the Heat's favorite guys. Yeah, and those two really feel like, I don't know, they feel like the two most likely to me.
And what's funny is like those two guys are really great at defense. And you know how much the Heat love their defense. So it just makes sense. Like you can see them play in their system. They're both also, they're not freshmen, so they're not one-and-done prospects. They've been in college for a few seasons, so I don't think they would have as much hard time developing them. I think they already pretty much would be crafted, and they're plug-and-play options more than like a project like, for instance, I think Kevin Porter Jr. would be a project. I don't think he would be an instant impact player, or Romeo Langford, which Jack loves.
So PJ Washington is a couple years younger than Brandon Clark.
Yeah, Clark's pretty old. He's going to be 24, I think.
23 when the season starts.
Okay.
You guys don't think that guys like Brandon Clark, you know, when you have Kelly and JJ, how that's kind of going to... Because like
That's my concern. That's right? Definitely my concern.
It's a big log. And I don't... You know how Spoelstra is?
Yeah, right? That's a coaching problem, though. I don't think you can really like consider that much when you're drafting. Like you gotta go with the best player, and
but I mean you have to if you're
yes and no. I mean issue last year, didn't we not? Like for the log jam at guards, if we're gonna have a log jam at
forward,
you know, forwards and centers if we
like
draft
picking
them.
A forward.
Like, I mean, I think it's a problem with Brandon Clark because he's 23 already and he's gonna be 24 soon. But like with a younger player, you can't.
And he's a non-shooting three at least for the time being.
I don't think you want to break up Bam and Kelly also. Like, I know that I said that Brandon Clark's a good pairing for Bam long-term, but I know that right now Kelly is really, really good for Bam's development. All the lineups, all the two-man lineups with Bam and Kelly are plus. That's like a big thing. The good thing about drafting a guy like Brandon Clarke, if he's available, is that you could potentially move Kelly, and I do think that he has a lot of value. I think that you'll be able to get something, especially when he has 2 years left on his deal. A team like Houston could have really used him, even though they
were... That would hurt the Heat's offense a lot.
I know.
Going from Kelly to Brandon Clarke.
Yeah. But that's the thing. And like knowing our Brian, I guess that's where the coaching staff kind of comes into play. And I guess James Johnson would be a better fit for Houston with all their isolation stuff.
Who are we getting from Houston?
Golden State would love Kelly Olynyk right now.
Oh my God, Golden State would love Deion. Like,
Can I tell you that I've been thinking that so much that I'm like, man, if they had Deion, Deion would love it because he gets to go crazy. He gets to do whatever he wants.
He gets to get open threes. He'd be able to break down the defense with a bunch of other shooters next to him. You know,
he can play with Clay really easily. And I don't think that's a small thing. Like, we're watching in these finals, like, a guy who can handle the ball and who's not afraid to shoot has value. It has value. And I don't think that should be lost. But kind of going back to the Brandon Clarke thing, like, I think these guys that are that might be available to them at 13, when you know that they're going to be playing behind Kelly and fighting with JJ for minutes, and then, you know, you have Hassan and Bam playing center all the time, right? So they're not going to go too small.
I wonder if that's part of the reason they've been so aggressive recently, or like we keep seeing the reports like every 2 weeks of, oh, they're really willing to deal Deion, JJ, Hassan, because they know it's gonna be a logjam.
I don't think the Deion thing's a problem. I do think that the one that, depending on how they want to draft, I think getting JJ, finding JJ a new home is probably really beneficial because of age and because you kind of want.
The thing is, which one do you think is going to be easy to trade, JJ or Hassan? Because JJ's on such a smaller deal annually, but Hassan is expiring, and Hassan has clearly been productive, whereas JJ last year was just kind of a negative.
JJ toward the end of the season. Listen, I gave Spoelstra a lot of crap on Twitter about just the playing JJ over Kelly, but the numbers bear it out that toward the last month and a half, I mean, the Heat were better with JJ on the floor than even Kelly.
Yeah, Olynyk. I mean, it was clear to see that Spo was trying to get him and Deion just basically playing themselves into shape, because they're both clearly, or at least they were this season, out of shape.
Yeah, but in JJ's defense, like, he had that surgery and the sports hernia, and it was, you know, that's
exactly,
not an easy
yeah,
thing
for sure.
To come
and the
back
thing,
with.
Same thing with Deion and his ankle. He came back kind of early from his ankle, aggravated it again. Whatever.
I think next season we're going to see really different Deions. I know that the Heat have had slow starts every damn year. I do think that this may be a year that we have a nice, easy kind of start,
Because it's like, then maybe that's the other point I was about to get to, was that if they're in shape, they're playing better, maybe wait a little bit, try to build their value back up. And in the meantime, you're kind of focused on trading, on getting rid of one or two of your expiring. Those are the ones that have value right now. You already know Dragic is a good player. You know Whiteside is a good player. A veteran team, you know, trades a bad contract, something else, and adds a decent player that's going to expire in a year.
They need a small forward who can shoot.
Did y'all see the... Wait, a small forward who can shoot?
Yes, Jack. Who's that?
Romeo Langford.
Is that it? Is that the guy?
Okay, I know everybody here is going to say he can't shoot.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even think he can play small forward, but okay.
Can't play small forward. It's also, he doesn't fit any of the categories that Gianni mentioned. I was just trying to squeeze it in there. Oh. But like,
well, let me give you his basic information so Gianni can paint a picture of who this, because you know he's never
Gianni
seen a single
read a single thing about
I
any
have
of these
the
guys.
Things open. Cam Reddish, right. Duke freshman wing, 6'8", 128 pounds.
We don't want to hear you skim the article.
Man, is this from 5reasonsports.com?
It sure is. You can check out all our articles about the draft. We have wings and bigs up. Pay attention. We may put up guards this week. Who knows?
We have guards up. We have to put bigs up soon.
5reasonsports.com.
Little do you know. Yeah, Romeo Langford, he is 6'6", 215 pounds, with a 6'11" wingspan. He's currently 19.6 years old. Freshman guard out of Indiana. Who averaged 16.5 points on 49.1% shooting.
So
it was a shooting hand too, right?
Yes. I think so.
Yeah.
It wasn't his hand,
it was his thumb.
Yeah, it was his thumb.
Which is on his hand.
Got it.
The ESPN mock draft that they just did has Nasir Little going to Miami, which would be interesting. athletic guy, 3 and D, kind of disappointed his only year.
That was kind of a.
I mean, three.
That's almost like a Bam pick in the sense that
27% shooter from three. What are we talking about? 3 and D.
Who are you talking about?
Nasir Little.
Well, that's what he projects as. He disappointed in college, Gianni.
Listen, and a lot of people are kind of, a lot of scouts seem to be high on his stroke. I kind of am too. He has a natural stroke already as it is. I think he's kind of more of a project. But what I was gonna say was there's parallels between that and the Bam pick, because they were kind of projected to go a little bit later, in the first round. But I don't know. It doesn't really feel like that they're gonna do that, man.
What
the
hell is the Heat's goal next season?
They need to get a superstar on team.
I'm not even joking. Like, and I do think that when we're talking about guys that are projects, guys that are not, guys that fit next to Bam, guys that, like, I don't think that to kind of properly analyze this draft, we need to, and I don't know the answer to it right now. I know that they're not, probably the right answer is they should probably, like, have a fire sale, get as much as they can, clear cap space so that they can take in assets and, like, do whatever. Like, that's obviously, like, what we want, but it's not going to happen. So, what the hell is their goal next season, right? So they're going to try to be a playoff team.
Their
right?
goal next season is to try to clear cap space to sign 2 max level free agents on 2020.
While being a playoff team.
While trying to be important. A playoff team at the same time.
Exactly.
They're going to have their first round pick in 2020, which they could trade, but they can't trade it until at the end of the season. So that's important to note.
They don't trade this one first.
Knowing their goal.
True. Well, actually, it doesn't matter. If they use this pick already and they trade it later, that doesn't prohibit them from trading a 2020 pick.
Really? So it doesn't go with the step year or whatever?
No. That's only years in advance. If you already make the selection, then that doesn't...
Wow, so that's literally just like a regular...
So yeah, technically, you can trade your pick every single year as long as you don't trade multiple picks years in advance.
Is that just
sense.
For Pat Riley? Is that rule just for
no,
Pat
that's funny. Yeah, I guess the rule probably prohibits Pat Riley the most out of
and
any
Billy
GM. Billy King and who else? Daryl Morey probably, because he doesn't care about first round picks either.
Yeah, Pat's getting. I'm being unfair, but that's definitely the Billy King rule. Because my God, I mean, it ended up not being that bad. As it turns out, Brooklyn is going to end up with Kyrie.
Yeah, after they got Billy King out of there, they fixed it.
They fixed it, and they're going to end up having a better situation than Boston somehow.
That'd be funny.
That'd be incredible, man.
I mean, they were a joke. They made the worst trade ever.
They end up with Kyrie, KD, the rest of their young guys.
Like, and they probably have better young players. I think they have better young players than Boston does.
They have better young players than Miami.
Spicy.
Better young players than
spicy.
Miami.
Oh, wow. Double spicy.
Yeah.
Is that a spicy take? Do we? Like,
both of those might be spicy takes.
Do we value Justice, Bam, and Josh more? Like, would people just say that Dinwiddie, D'Angelo Russell, and like Caris LeVert are better? I think the consensus would be around the league that the Brooklyn young
Jared
players,
Allen.
Jared Allen. Like, I feel like the consensus is those guys are better than what Miami has.
I think it's because we just saw them in the playoffs. There's a little bit of recency bias, but I was kind of on leaning that way too a little while ago.
I mean,
I think those guys are a little bit more ahead. Like Caris LeVert was a guy who was older when he came out of the draft, and then he got taken late, kind of like Dinwiddie because of an injury that he had. Those are the types of guys that Brooklyn was getting, just low cost, high reward.
I remember when the Heat used to do that.
I think the Nets are over the Heat, no question, if you're, like, going overall, because it's a quantity question. They have, like, 4 really good young guys, and Miami has 3 really good young guys. Then Derrick Jones doesn't count.
Excuse you.
Wait, don't discount Derrick Jones.
Completely disagree. He's a first-round pick.
If you go 1-1, though, I think Justice and D'Lo, I think that's closer than a lot of people would think. I think Josh Harris.
Jack, we're so.
I don't think we're alone on that one.
We're alone. Jack was an all-star. We're alone.
Who, Justice?
Yeah. No, D'Lo.
Justice better.
Justice better, man. Come on.
I think it's. No, I said. I'm not saying Justice is actually better than D'Lo. I'm saying it's closer than people think. Harris. Josh, I think that's kind of a wash. I think I would take Karis, but I think that's also close.
It's not
Jared Allen, Bam. I really like Jared Allen. I think I would take Bam there long term.
Same. I think just because of the
I think Bam is the only one that people would agree with you.
I don't know. I don't know. Jared Allen, people were really hyping up this year. You know, he blocked all these dunkers and he gets a lot of highlight blocks. Bam, I don't know.
Watching these playoffs and these finals, Bam, you know, if they can find a way to have Bam on an affordable, like, long-term contract when they're good, that's going to be – he can play a drop zone defense. He can play zone well. He can switch out to guys well. And something that I don't think should be taken for granted, he's a really smart player. And something that Toronto's done that I think has gone kind of under the radar is they switch certain things off ball and they switch some things on ball, not off ball. Like, their switch coverages are very different, like, all the time. And you have to be a smart player to do that. And I think Bam,
the whole roster is full of that. I think that the Heat are kind of going for that same vision that Toronto's going with right now, where, like, you can do those types of specific strategies on defense where this you stay home, or this you switch, and it's very disciplined. And I think the Heat are going for that same type of thing.
Just why
we have eight defenders, we're just going to throw at you.
Like, Justice is brilliant. Like, Justice, like, you talk to Justice, and, like, Goran is another guy. Like, I know that Goran is, like, a little older, and he's, like, never been an all-world defender. You talk to that guy is so damn smart, and you see it on the court. Obviously, Dwayne was really brilliant, but I think with the young guys, what you kind of want is this versatility and smart players to be able to do that so you can match up with, like, a lot of different teams. I think the Raptors are a great example. Look at the teams they went through. Let's not even count Orlando. That doesn't count. Philadelphia, this big-ass team, huge, pound the ball, slow it down. You got shooters running around off-ball screens everywhere. Then you have
Say they have three top 20 players, three top 15 players, whatever, wherever you're at with Jimmy Butler. But
exactly. Like, they handled, like, this top-heavy team. Then you have the Bucks, who play, like, this heavy ISO spread offense. And now you're playing the Warriors, which have all this elbow, ball movement, back screens nonsense, right? Like, and they've handled it all well. And I think if you're Miami, like, you kind of want this defensive versatility, and you have that, right? Your core has that. Josh, Justice, and Bam have that. So, like, how are we going to build to that? How does that play into their goal for next season to get cap flexibility and to be a playoff team? It's asking for a lot, but you know that that's what they want to do. So that's why I think that when we're analyzing who the hell are they possibly going to take, that has to factor in.
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to try, which is why I think they're going to try to find one of those switchy kind of defenders.
Exactly. I think you're looking at it kind of inverse, where, like, you shouldn't be looking for the guy that's gonna take you over that next step with scoring, because I don't think you're gonna get that at 13, like we talked about before. But what if you try to build yourself? What if the goal is to build yourself up, like the Raptors were,
have a nice before they had Kawhi for a score?
Right, exactly. We've talked about this concept before, but you get me. If you have, you throw in, let's say, like, I think we talked about this too, PJ Washington kind of checks off all the boxes more or less of, you know, fit. He's 20. He's going to be 21 in August, so he's not too old yet. He has a Kentucky connection with Bam. He shot 43% from three last season. Shot up, which is 20% higher than the year before. He's athletic, good rebounder, good defender. He's the body. He's 225. He's 6'9 with a 7'2 wingspan. Like, he kind of fits the bill for all the boxes that you're checking theoretically, except the whole thing with shot creator. That's
they're gonna want guys that fit in, right? Like, they're gonna want not fit out. They don't want they don't want fitter outers. They want fitter in.
Damn, I was just gonna propose that Kevin Love trade, man.
Kevin Love would be great.
Like, I was looking at ESPN's mock draft, so they do have Brandon Clark available at 14. What's interesting in their draft is they actually have Kelvin Johnson now jumping up to number 10, when I thought he was a player that would be, like, available in the 20s.
I think he's going to be available, like,
well, they have him. They have him at 10th, which is going to Atlanta.
That's crazy.
They have him passing on Siku Dumbuya and your favorite Gianni Rui.
Yeah! Achimura. Okay, wait.
You saw that Rui got a promise from Minnesota?
Yeah, I saw that too.
Can we get a little wild right now?
Either Minnesota or I think was the other team, Washington.
Ugh. So, you know how Miami's kind of in the run. Would you be willing to kind of move the 13th pick and salary if it somehow got Kevin Love and J.R. Smith?
Yes.
Are you getting back 26?
No.
What salary are we talking about, though?
I mean, you have to make the contracts match, right? You just cannot send.
I guess, right? I mean, yeah, if you're talking about JR, for sure you can move JJ for him. at the same price.
I haven't
price.
Done Trade Machine. I don't know how ridiculous.
No, yeah, you can do both of them at the same price.
Kevin Man. Love is up to 2019, 2020.
I'm thinking Hassan probably would
it's
match
too good
up
to be
with,
true, right? They just can't. They yeah, can't wait, get Kevin Love. And
wait, Hassan, JJ, who else are you throwing in that trade? Oh, maybe Derrick Jones Jr.
I think it's worth love for that. The pick. If you're giving, even if like you're giving the pick away, like I think it's worth it. I might even think it's worth it if you give the pick and Derrick Jones.
Working on this right now.
Oof. Never mind. I'm not sure.
You're not in on that?
Did I go too much for a second? No, it's not even that. It's just at that point you're not really. It doesn't really help out with the cap anymore because you still have Kevin Love making the max deal.
But Kevin Love is up in 2020.
Kevin Love would be one of your
Kevin Love's up in 2020.
I
really.
Yep. Wow, okay, that's good. Oh, I really want Kevin Love.
We're back, baby. Are we back?
I think he has an opt out in 2020. He might not actually opt out.
I'm looking at Spotrac and it shows that he has
but even then, it's not that long.
At 2020,
that most.
It's a dead number. It's a dead cap number. I think dead cap it.
I mean, it's not bad if you. The thing is, if you're doing that trade, then I think you kind of got to assume that you go
okay,
after
because he
for.
Has a, wait, Jose, let's revisit this. Is this a contract extension? Maybe.
Yeah, he has an opt-in after next summer is what I think it is, right?
His deal is up until 2023.
Never mind.
Bro, we just said like three different things.
Yeah, because Spotrac had this weird thing where I guess it doesn't show his extension. It has like his first contract and then after the extension that he just
what
signed.
Do you mean? I'm looking at it right now. His extension's right there in front of my screen. It says a four-year, $120 million extension that will begin starting next season. So
exactly.
That means
that's what I thought. You got extended.
Kevin Love at $28 million?
Woo! Yeah. Well, it's weird. His salary goes 28.9, then it goes 31.2, then 31.2 again, and then it goes back down to 28.9.
Never mind. I don't want it anymore.
At 34 years old, you're going to pay him almost $29 million?
I mean his game will probably like not age like too horribly.
Him next to Bam would be very fun.
It would be.
For like a couple of years until he can't defend anyone and then he's attacked in pick and roll like Boogie Cousins is every single
time. Until he can't defend anyone?
I mean like even worse than like DeMarcus legit can't move, right? Like so I envision like
no Boogie slander here, all right?
This 2021 Kevin Love is like gonna be like DeMarcus Cousins out there like that Kyle Lowry is like loafing over and be like, ha! Ah! Got you on a switch, buddy. Guess who's getting burned?
Yeah, never mind, man. I don't know why we.
Yeah.
Have a love talk.
Can we talk about the Jimmy Butler Instagram post from today?
Fine.
Whoa.
We're running on time, so hurry up.
I just saw that. Who posted? I mean, I saw the screenshot, but I don't know who actually posted the picture. But I saw that J. Rich, D. Wade, and Jimmy Butler were all on the comment section of an Instagram post, chatting.
Jimmy
it up.
Butler's pick.
This is reporting Jimmy Butler's in 2019. Pick.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. They both use emojis.
That it?
So we got him.
I think it's pretty much safe to assume that he's coming to Miami.
I've gone over this before. I don't want the Heat to max this 30-year-old.
You know, I don't want Kyle Lowry to win an NBA championship.
Not wanting to pay Kevin Love. What do you think you're getting with?
I would way rather have Jimmy Butler than Kevin Love, man. Don't get me started.
Yes, I'd rather have Jimmy Butler too, but like you're going to max Jimmy Butler with what's the max salary now, Brian? It's like his max will start at 34?
35.
Kevin Love's ends at like is maxed out at 31. Like so you're going to pay this guy when he's 34.
Yeah, you can't play him in the playoffs.
Yeah, but you're going to have this Thibodeau Mile guy. Like,
oh my God, you in that narrative.
But
bro.
Jimmy Butler is all about that Heat culture, baby.
He was a role player the first few seasons of his career.
Okay, but like, don't you remember that? I think he played like three straight games of 48 minutes. Remember that in the playoffs?
Yes,
do you remember that?
Too. He was young.
Thibodeau thought
that guy's
like
always been strong as
dog,
shit.
Thibodeau
remember
thought
how he was when he played us in the playoffs. Man, that guy's a brick wall.
Dude, bro, Jimmy Butler almost beat the Kawhi-led Raptors this season.
He was their best player. Like, that can't even be debated. He was their best player in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, because Joel Embiid was sick.
Okay. All right. If you can't put up consistent games where you're a top 15 player, you're not a top 15
Joel
player.
Joel Embiid played well. I mean, obviously, like, it's not easy when Marcus Gasol's guarding you.
Though, man. He was game to game. Like, you can't.
He was clearly not healthy.
Which means that Jimmy Butler had to do even more on offense to keep that team alive.
You think Jimmy Butler is the best player cornerstone for a championship team when he's taking up $34 million?
No, but that's not the conversation. Why do we always...
He'd be a hell of a number two.
That's the thing. Why do we...
Okay, so then where are you
going to
get the money for the number two?
Yeah.
For the number one.
Where we get the number one? We get free agency.
So you're going to get the number one when he's 32 years old.
Hell yeah.
So then you're going to have a two-year window of Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, we're going after Kevin Durant next offseason, guys.
It'll be your three.
Do you not see what I mean?
Sorry, it's got to be the Warriors or nothing. There's no in between.
No, I just think that if you want to... like
you put yourself in the mix if you get Jimmy Butler as your second
Listen,
star and you
I've
keep
said
some
this
of the other young guys.
Forever. What I want them to do is remain a moderately competitive basketball team to let all these contracts expire once Hassan and Goran come off
the
books.
You're the only person who wants that to happen.
Because they have to wait. They don't have anything. There's no hope.
I need content for this podcast.
They do have hope. His name is Romeo Langford.
You're listening to the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We've created a menu of intelligent and entertaining content on demand for commutes, workouts, and more. And by now, you're already familiar with the 15 different podcasts in our network. Today, we are proud to announce the premiere of our brand new website, 5ReasonSports.com. On it, you'll find columns from more than a dozen of our hosts, many who are professional writers in the market. Watch original videos from shows like Miami Heat Beat and Balls Cast. Browse our full merchandise shop. And unlike other outlets in the area, there's no paywall. Everything is absolutely free. All of this from a network that's credentialed from all 5 major sports teams in South Florida. Oh yeah, did we mention that it's free? We're by Miami for Miami. We're sports on your schedule. We're Miami Sports On Demand. We're the 5 Reasons Sports Network. Go to 5ReasonSports.com today.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.